Notice the public is not in attendance today.
Although we have two public members over there. Al, Harlan, you guys can sit over here if you want.
No, he must have higher priorities to cover today.
All right, are we live and well, Esther?
All the excitement he's going to miss.
All right, Randy Council may not hitting the gavel hard enough last time, so. Is that better, Randy?
Perfect.
Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We meet in the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's Wednesday, February 13th, approximately 10 a.m. for our regularly scheduled commission meeting. I don't have any opening comments today, but I would defer to my colleagues if they do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just welcome to our guests that are here, and I really have nothing else to add at this point.
Perfect. Julie?
All right. Well, I guess I have two opening comments to fill in for you guys. First, which one should I do first? I'll save the best for last. I was noting that President's Day is just around the corner,
yes,
Monday, right? And it's a state holiday, and we're all. And I am a new Lincoln buff, as so many people are, just because the new books that are out on him and the movie. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm reading The Team of Rivals, and it's quite a good book. Have you guys read it?
We lived it.
You lived it. Wow. You're older than I thought, which we'll get to point number two. But anyway, I thought it would be timely to share one of Lincoln's quotes that I've recently learned that I think is kind of cool. Towering genius disdains a beaten path. It seeks regions hitherto unexplored, which I think likens us to what we're going through in North Dakota right now. Exploring new areas. I think we do it almost every day in this job. We seem to be exploring new territory. And so it sort of hit home with me. And I thought it was interesting that this was a quote that Lincoln included in his Lyceum speech, which he gave when he was 28 years old, long before the Civil War. He was still living in Illinois and had just recently moved to Springfield. And so he was already wrestling with some of the issues that he was going to be encountering in great detail. And when I was out in D.C. for the NARUC convention, I went to the portrait gallery one afternoon, and they had a cast of Lincoln's face from when he was before president and after the Civil War, just at the end of the Civil War, and his hands, and it was really shocking to see the toll that took on him as an individual. And I think it's neat to ponder how big of a difference one person can truly make, something I always try to teach my kids and remind them of. And I think it's important for us to remember that, too,
absolutely,
in big and small ways. So that was my point number one. Point number two gets back to our esteemed chair here. Uh-huh. Last Friday, Chairman Kalk celebrated a birthday.
Yes, I did.
And I was not here to help in the celebration, so I wanted to wish you a belated birthday. And
well, thank you very much.
Suggest that we all join in a chorus of belated happy birthday for Brian. I do not know if this is allowed, but I'm going to say let's go for it. So on the count of three, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brian. Happy birthday to you. You can go ahead and read the card out loud.
Happy birthday to a really terrific guy. You, hold on, the opinion has been challenged.
And then keep reading.
Oh, there's more. There's more. Oh, upon further review, the original opinion stands. Oh, thank you, Jules. But now, maybe the senior guy in the commission, but I'm not the oldest guy. Just saying.
You just said you lived the Civil War, so you must be lying about your age.
All right. Thank you, Julie. All right, with that, anything else, Commissioner?
That's it.
All right, thank you. All right, we have some items on consent. I would move passage.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, before we go to the regular agenda, Sarah, I'd moved not met before, but I'd like to introduce everybody to Sarah Cardwell. She's new in public utilities, so Sarah, if you could stand up. Thanks for coming to join us today.
Thanks, Sarah.
So I heard that you started today. We've not met, so I look forward to meeting. I'm sure all the commissioners do, but we're very excited for you to get here. We had Chris work with us for a couple years, did a great job. He moved with Commissioner Kramer, now Congressman Kramer, to D.C. And I know that Mike and Pat and Jerry are very excited to get you working right away to bring your expertise to the commission. So thanks for coming. All right. With that, I'll move to item BK1 as I put my glasses on. Julie? I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing concerning Telrights Corporation application to be designated as an eligible carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for Lifeline Services, case number PU13-501.
Second.
In January of this year, Telright Corporation, a Georgia-based company, with its principal offices at Covington, Georgia, filed an application for designation as an eligible telecommunication carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. This is, I think, now the, what is it, Pat, the third or fourth one we've seen?
It is the third one.
The third one we've seen where companies have applied to serve Lifeline only to the state without actually having offices in North Dakota. So it's due to some of the changes that are being implemented in the FCC. And so we look forward to learning more about the company. Anyone desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by close of business on March 27, 2013. If there are no requests for hearing, the commission can determine this matter without a formal hearing. What's that?
It's the fourth one.
The fourth one. Thanks, Pat.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Sensing none.
I just have one comment on this. I don't have any discussion on this issue, but I would like to set up a session, a work session or something, on this whole issue of Lifeline Services so we can better understand what it is and what our role is in facilitating this federal program.
Perfect.
We can add that to the calendar.
We'll add that today. Thanks, Jill.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. Item BK2. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between a filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 30 days, and assess a filing fee of $85,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU13-64, Courtenay Wind Farm, LLC, proposed 200.5-megawatt wind energy conversion facility in Stutzman County, North Dakota.
Second.
This is no doubt one of the projects that was, I guess, I won't say contingent upon the renewal of the production tax credit, but it's interesting that this project was filed pretty quickly after that. A little bit of details that we have from the letter of intent. As I said, it's going to be located in northeastern Stutzman County. The project will be up to 135 turbines, producing approximately 200 megawatts of wind energy. A project total investment is approximately $170 million. 10 full-time employees will be required once the project is completed, and the project during construction will be approximately 200 jobs will be created. The MISO will be the area that this will tie into, the MISO region. It'll go through, it looks like they're proposing to go through Otter Tail Power Company's substation north of Jamestown. The proposed schedule is to have this project in operation by the end of 2014. So with that, we look forward to getting the full application on this.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
All right, that concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the commission close out contract number 635-12. With BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated and contract number 637-12 with GeoServe Incorporated for completion of work on the Beulah Zap Phase 13 AML project.
Second.
On May 14th of 2012, the commission entered into the contract 635-12 with BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated of Williston and contract number AM637-12 with GeoServe Incorporated of Bismarck for work associated with the Beulah Zap Phase 13 abandoned mine land project near Beulah. The work primarily involved rotary drilling to locate underground mine voids, injecting pressurized grout into the voids, and testing of the grout. This work has been completed. Both contractors have been paid in full, and the AML division recommends the contracts be closed out. Just a few things that I found in looking through this. There's four void. There's – a number of these that have been done for, you know, over the course of quite a few years. And in this case, they're working kind of north of Beulah, north of Highway 200 along two different county roads, one paved one and one unpaved. And in this case, the original contract was for just under $690,000 for the actual pumping work. There were change orders that ended up being just under $730,000. That was the B&C concrete pumping part of it. The other contract with GeoServe, they were the ones who tested the grout that was injected. And this is just an ongoing process. We've been doing this for, I forget now what Jim told me, but a couple decades, and there's much more of this work to be done. And these are projects that worked out well and are ready to be approved.
All right. Are these in District 33?
They happen to be in District 33, not far from my own home.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move the commission close out contract number AM-642-12 with Barranco Brothers Incorporated for completion of the 2012 coal outcrop fire suppression project.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, in late September of 2012, the commission awarded contract AM-642-12 to Barranco Brothers Incorporated of Dickinson, North Dakota, to excavate and extinguish dangerous coal seam fires. This work was conducted at sites in Slope and McKenzie counties. The contract has completed work and has now been paid. The AML division recommends the contract be closed out. Neither of these counties are in District 33, but it's important nonetheless that these things be taken care of. And this, too, is something that's gone on for a long time. In this case, the original contract was for three known fires, and it ended up being four. And that's why the price was increased from $27,000 in the original contract to $35,000 when it was all done. This is considered one project with four fires over the years. There have been six projects doing 58 fires. So these things continue to happen, and when they do, they need to be put out, or they continue to smolder on, and every time it's dry and the wind comes up, you have more prairie fire problems. So it's kind of an ongoing thing, but this one was taken care of. Apparently they did a good job, took on the additional role and did some excavating to work things up and get that last fire put out well, and it needs to be approved.
Excellent.
Here we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, I believe that concludes the items in your portfolio today. So, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Okay. I move the commission issue the notice of hearing, notice of intervention deadline, and notice of public input sessions in NSP Company's electric rate increase application, case number PU-12-813.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
We probably should walk through this a little bit, maybe.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask for a discussion.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, so at our last meeting, we approved interim rates for NSP that filed an application for a rate increase with us on December 18th. At our last meeting, January 30th, we approved their interim rates of $14.7 million or 8.05% over the current rates to become effective on February 16th. And today, we are announcing the public hearing schedule for this rate case. And that will be a public hearing on this matter will be held beginning August 27th, 2013 at 9 a.m. in this commission hearing room, the state capitol. The issues to be considered will be what is the value of NSP's property used and useful for the service and convenience of the public in North Dakota? What is NSP's rate of return on its property used and useful for the service and convenience of the public in North Dakota? What is a just and reasonable rate of return on NSP's property for the service and convenience of the people of North Dakota, and what rates and charges are necessary to provide a just and reasonable rate of return on NSP's property in for the service and convenience of people in North Dakota. Additionally, are NSP's proposed rate schedules designed in such a manner they result in a basis of charge to customers that are just and reasonable without discrimination, and any other relevant information or proposals concerning the proceedings. In advance of that hearing, we will have public input sessions April 15th at 7 p.m. and April 16th at 12 p.m. These will be held at four different locations throughout the state and also available via interactive television. The hearings will be at the state capitol, in this hearing room in the Public Service Commission, Minot State University, University of North Dakota, and NDSU. The public can also participate in them online through our website. So we want to get the word out that these hearings and public input sessions will be available to folks. We will be doing some publicity in advance to try to gin up interest and get people out there to better understand. I think that the company will provide some of the rationale for their rate increase during those public input sessions, so it's a good opportunity for people to attend and learn more about why NSP is coming forward and seeking an increase in rates again. So also, I suppose I should note here that anyone wishing to be a party, an official party to intervene in this process, should file a petition to intervene by May 1st of 2013. Right. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you laid it out beautifully. Okay. This is, Michael, how many rate cases is this now in the last 4 years?
This would be the fourth.
This would be the fourth one, so fourth in 5 years. So prior to me moving to this position, I had Commissioner Fedorchuk's portfolio on this, and so probably I think this is the most challenging portfolio, the one that Julie has right now with rate cases. And what I guess I've learned in the past rate cases is that this setup is perhaps the most important, that when you go to the public input sessions, that their public input is not part of the official record, but it really sets the stage for the questions that commissioners might ask during the technical hearing, or they might ask further questions of the company ahead of time. So the public will come and the company will lay out why it is they need all the points they're laying out in the rate case. The public will ask their questions, and the company gets a chance to respond. And also, in this case, there'll be email questions. Questions can be emailed to the PSC, which will then be referred to the companies. But I've always viewed the public input sessions as a really good chance to flush out some of the questions that I might have, as well as see what the people are most concerned about. And then, which really sets the stage. You pointed out the petition to intervene is May 1st. That's when someone wants to become officially a party to the case, involved in all the discussions, if there is a settlement, if there is a whatever the final rate turns out to be. But it doesn't mean that people can't come to the technical hearing, because anyone can come to the technical hearing and say their piece, too. So this is going to be I think, become a big part of your life here shortly. So we're glad you're here at this time.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
The next item on my agenda is a motion for the commission to issue a notice of filings, notice of informal hearing, and notice of opportunity for hearing in the applications for an amended certificate of corridor compatibility, an amended route permit, and application for waivers of procedures and time schedules concerning the construction by Bakken Link Pipeline, LLC, of approximately 132 miles of crude oil pipelines in Billings, Dunn, McKenzie, Stark, and Williams counties, North Dakota, case number PU-10-218.
Second.
This is a follow-on to some work that we did in the last couple of weeks. Back in February of 2012, Bakken Link Pipeline was issued a certificate designated corridor and a permit designated route for construction of this 123.8-mile 12-inch pipeline and three 8-inch lateral pipelines in the counties I had just mentioned, and it's for transmission of crude oil. The commission approved an amended route permit in September of last year. And on January 18th of this year, Bakken Link filed a request for another route and corridor change. We worked through this and came up with, on February 1st, at a special meeting, we determined that the commission would delegate authority to staff to approve the route deviations outside the designated corridor, subject to the subsequent issuance of a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing opportunity for comments or requests for hearing on the four reroutes. So the staff did approve the four reroutes, condition on the expiration of the notice period without receipt of any comments or requests for hearings. Today's notice provides this opportunity for hearing. Anyone who would like a hearing must let our office know by March 18th, and those public notices will go out, assuming, in the next available papers as soon as we can get them in. I did want to note that when we worked through this, it was rather a complicated issue, and something that, you know, the commission is sort of creating a new process for. There was some precedent for this, but I think that we felt that in this case, the project, the deviances were justified because the project was under construction. There were contractors out in the field working through it. And these route changes were requested, in most of them, by the landowners. And had we not approved them, the pipeline company could have moved ahead and gone through their original route, and we would have had no way really to stop them. And so we really wanted to acknowledge the landowners' requests and to have the route go a different way on their land. It's part of the balance we're walking here and providing an efficient and smooth process for regulating these pipelines, for supporting the build-out of the infrastructure that the industry needs and that the people, frankly, in Western North Dakota want and need to get trucks off the road, while also recognizing the needs of the landowners who have to live with these pipelines in their backyard. So we thought carefully about it. I think we came up with a pretty good compromise here, and we'll see now if anybody comes forward and has a problem with it.
Good to meet.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
One more comment. You know, I think that this is something that this commission should feel very good about, it coming from a legislative background where you kind of look at regulators sometimes with a curled eyebrow. You know, I think everyone in North Dakota is wanting infrastructure to be built, as Commissioner Fedorchik talked about, getting the trucks off the road, eliminating traffic problems, dust problems, and all that. And people are suffering from landowner fatigue out there. And the people are just sick of having all this stuff come across their property. Well, when the pipeline company is able to work with the landowners to make it more comfortable, I think it's wonderful that here in North Dakota, the regulatory agency is able to also accommodate and make sure that we're within standards and rules and that sort of thing, but get these things moved along in an orderly, timely manner. And so I think it's something that we ought to feel pretty good about.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, I believe that concludes our regular scheduled agenda. Just a question for Commissioner Chrisman. When you were in the Senate, you never looked at the previous commission like that, did you?
I was referring to other regulatory bodies, not the Public Service Commission in North Dakota.
Thank you, Randy. All right, looking ahead a little bit, this afternoon, we do not have an informal schedule. We do have at 3 o'clock, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is going to come in and give us just a general overview of some of the concerns that they might have in a general nature, not anything case-specific. The commission had our first hearing as this commission last Thursday. We were up in Williston for Basin Electric had a project, two 45-megawatt natural gas electricity plants. So that hearing went pretty well. We'll have a work session. Will be scheduled on that later. Commissioner Fedorchik and I were in D.C. last week for NARUC. And we'll talk about that later, what committees we might end up on. And other than that, I can't think of anything else for the good of the order. Randy, Julie, can you think of anything else?
I have nothing.
I have nothing more to add either.
Okay, do you want to take a break or go right into the administrative portion of the meeting?
I would prefer to just go into the administrative portion.
Okay.
I haven't been here too long.
With that, we'll close the official meeting.